Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:12 p.m. Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 3rd. I'm sorry to say that there's a little gap between when the audio starts. It's because I'm having a little bit of a delay because I'm recording the audio and the video on two different pieces of software. So there's a little bit of a lag between when one starts and the other one starts. But just to continue what is happening today, the Nasdaq had pulled back, and it was working on a downside key for a good part of the day, but was able to recoup most of those losses by the end of the day, and has bounced from that 5,400 level. So that's at least a short-term area of support. It is being led higher today by Tesla, which has broken on the upside, and that is important because Tesla has been going sideways now for nearly 3 years. It stopped going up because they announced that they were going to spend a fortune on building this gigafactory, and that has now been completed, and they're ramping up production. It bounced, or I think it's more than a bounce. It has broken out now because they delivered more cars than expected in the last quarter, and have overtaken Ford in terms of revenue. I believe that's accurate. And Ford has a very different chart pattern. It has held this progression of lower rally highs for nearly 3 years and has encountered resistance again in the region of the trend mean. Now, obviously, we can see there that it is back in an area of previous resistance. It has bounced from this $11 area on a number of occasions previously, but if it's going to do so on this occasion, it would really want to be getting about it, wouldn't it? When we look at the wider stock market, then this was a mildly negative day, but the majority of markets in on Wall Street were able to finish well off their lows. I think what was quite important is that the banking sector, having pulled back really quite sharply in the last while, has bounced pretty impressively, and that was the case certainly on Friday, and then it was able to hold the majority of the gains. Some of the biggest movers were some of the largest banks. So, for example, we have Goldman Sachs, which has bounced there from that 220 area and was able to hold the bounce in here today. It didn't really decline very much beyond that. JP Morgan is also holding the majority of what has been a very impressive advance. Now we're still in a corrective phase, but the reality is that so far this has been really quite consistent. When I started talking about the likelihood of a pause in consolidation back at the beginning of March, what I had pointed out was that we have had a succession of 100-point advances, that when we have had these really quite inert ranges, and then we get a 100-point advance. That when we get to a new high, we get about a 100-point advance. So we are due a pause in consolidation, and we are getting a pause in consolidation. And that could, if we are going to remain consistent, it could last at least 2 months, but potentially 4 months. And if that were indeed the case, that is, I think, cons would be would we would have to consider that the best possible scenario, that the market holds on to the vast majority of its gains and simply goes sideways. What that would achieve was that it would unwind the short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and that trend mean is catching up. The index is now not nearly as overextended as it was just 3 or 4 weeks ago. Because Wall Street was down in early trading, and was able to recover in the latter part of the day, the majority of indices in Europe were in negative territory. But I want to throw particular attention on two. One was the German index. It is now coming right up to test that 12,500 level. That is around where it encountered resistance back at the beginning of 2015. Now, it got up to that level in 2015 because the euro was weak. And that was right at the end of the big euro devaluation at the beginning of 2015. The euro has encountered resistance in the region of 108. It was in very mildly positive territory today, but this remains a quite a volatile environment, and it really would need to take out that 108 level on a sustained basis to confirm a return to euro dominance. There's really only one fundamental in the currency markets, and it is interest rate differentials. And the interest rate differential is right now it's in favor of the US dollar, and there's very little prospect of the ECB raising rates. And I think raising rates would practically be suicidal in terms of the impact that it would have on the economy and on the stock market. So, and considering just what the challenges are with everything from the French election to the German election to the Greek the latest Greek bailout and Brexit negotiations, there is so much uncertainty that it is just not politically feasible to raise rates. The European banking sector was in very mildly negative territory today. It has massively underperformed the wider market. It and the Italian index, because there are so many banks in it, and because of the debt that is outstanding in the economy, looks pretty similar to the banking index. But it is undeniable that it has held a progression of higher reaction lows since the middle of last year. And while a little bit overbought in the short term, it would really need to take out that really it's that 110 level would break the progression of higher reaction lows. So we are potentially going to get some consolidation, or some additional consolidation to be more accurate, but that would appear to be all that it is likely to do. And when we cast the net a little wider, the Indian index broke on the upside today. It's at a new all-time high today, and doing so in a very consistent manner. When we look at this on the daily chart, we are provided with this succession of small ranges, one above another, and we have just had another just above the 9,000 level. So this is a resumption of the medium-term uptrend, and it is doing so in a very consistent manner. The Indian rupee was a little bit weaker today, and it has done spectacularly well, so we could get some consolidation. But as long as the rupee is trading stronger than 66, or really 67, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, or to be more accurate, to the downside for the dollar. The Chinese market was in positive territory today, although really mildly so. And I think the Australian market is also really worthy of mention here. The ASX 200 was up mildly, but what it was doing is breaking on, pushing on from this short-term range and firming from above the 5,800 level. It has held the breakout from what it was, in effect, a 3-month range, and that is quite positive. Now, the banking index. Perhaps it would be worth looking at the weightings. The banking or the financials index, excuse me, represents 38.86% of the ASX 200. The material index is about, well, just less than 16%. Perhaps the most important thing that the financials index has done over the last couple of years is broken that medium-term downtrend, and it did that at the end of last year, and it's pushing on. So that is quite positive. It has broken out of that funk, and part of the reason that it has been able to do that is because it has really quite attractive yields. We can see that the index yields in the region of 5.08%. But it isn't, of course, the only constituent, even though it represents 40%. I have not typed that correctly. Excuse me. So the materials index did spectacularly well last year, and now it has pulled back for most of this year so far, but it is now in the region of the trend mean. This is about where, if it is going to find support, that we should be seeing some signs of it starting to happen, and it has at least paused in this area. I think a lot of people will be watching the commodities index, but part of the reason that the commodities index has been so weak has been is that it's been dragged down by the grains and beans. So perhaps better to keep an eye on the LME metals index, and then we get a better view where this index has continued to hold this progression of higher reaction lows, that it has a relatively similar pattern to what we see in the materials and the mining indices, and it has continued to firm even though it was down just a tad on Friday. This is a very political period, and there are calls now in South Africa for Zuma to resign. And you know, the fact that he has been running policy based on his own personal whim is beginning to have an effect on the rand. It had strengthened all the way from 18 to 12 and has pulled back sharply over the last couple of weeks and is now testing the region of the trend mean. A downgrade to junk is looking imminent for the South African government bonds. So that does highlight that, and hopefully then they can get Zuma to resign and at least give some semblance that government governance might be improved. The well, South African bonds are already trading as if they were junk. They're in the region of about 8 to 9% right now. There was also an election in Ecuador, and it was the socialist candidate won. So that's going to have an impact, not least because anyone who's producing oil there is going to be probably facing higher taxes as a result of that. The Brent price was down about 40 ticks today. It is still now in the region of the trend mean. There hasn't been a great deal in the way of dynamics. It has been able to post 4 consecutive days on the upside, but it is now back in the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range. And what it really needs to do is to post a higher reaction low. And the reality is that it's difficult for oil prices to rally in this environment. There's going to be an OPEC meeting at the end of this month, and they would have to really announce something pretty pivotal to really encourage a lot of speculation that prices are going to be able to sustain a move above 60. And I guess staying with the commodity markets, gold prices are steadying here in the region of $1,250. They're very mildly above that right now. This has been a pretty inert range, so that confirms that there are people buying here. It really does need to push on from this level. If it can do that, well, then we will have confirmed that we have a higher reaction low. We will have broken the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. They really have, and despite the fact that it accelerated on the downside at the end of last year and has had an impressive bounce, that a sustained move above that late February high would break the progression of lower rally highs that's been there really since the beginning of July of last year. And that would open up the door to an additional test of the 1350 area. So what happens with gold over the next week is likely to be really rather instructive. And the gold shares, you know, have lagged somewhat, but they were in positive territory today. It is looking increasingly likely that $20 area is going to hold, and that would be quite positive for the sector. They are offering leverage to the gold price. They have eschewed the temptation to spend a great deal of money on additional supply capacity. So anything that Well, any advance in the gold price will translate into additional profits for the sector. And the other market I think is really just worth keeping an eye on is Japan. The Japanese 2-year is trading at minus 16 basis points. But I think the most important point about this weekly chart is the fact that you have these very clear upward dynamics within it. The internal dynamics of the range are clearly looking like yields are going to rise, so bearish for bonds. So there is no country would benefit more from inflation. We do not have a great deal of evidence just yet in terms of the flow of statistics that inflation has come back in a meaningful way. But there is some reason to believe that we have a greater inflationary pressures, that we do have wages rising, we do have factory prices rising, and eventually they will begin to filter through. And we are all, and because we have these upper dynamics within the range, it also points to greater volatility. And volatility after what has been a very persistent decline in yields all the way from 2008, would suggest that there is a war going on between supply and demand. So this really is a market well worth keeping an eye on. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.